Frederick Church, a central figure in a group of artists known as the Hudson River School, became internationally renowned as a painter of monumental landscapes. The spectacular panoramas he painted in the 1840s through 1890s helped shape not only the cultural identity of the United States, but also of himself when he applied his vision as an artist to the house and 250-acre landscape that he named Owana, known today as Owana State Historic Site, a National Historic Landmark. Owana's design landscape has been sensitively restored over the last 10 years and can now be experienced by visitors very much as Church and his family experienced it in the 19th century. The new book, Frederick Church's Owana on the Hudson Art, Landscape, Architecture, includes nearly 50 paintings and sketches by Church alongside gorgeous photography by Larry Lederman. It also includes engaging essays by David Schuyler, Elizabeth Barlow Rogers, and Stephen Hanick. Thomas Waltz and Eleanor Jones Harvey contributed essays as well, and they join us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, Thomas and Eleanor. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Good morning, and thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so let us begin with you, Eleanor. You're a senior curator at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. How did you get involved in this particular project and ultimately what you wanted to say about Owana?
There were two things here. I've been specializing in the study of American landscape painting as a way of understanding our cultural identity since I first was an undergraduate at the University of Virginia and in grad school at Yale. And so I first came to Owana really to visit with David Huntington when he was alive to go see Church's home and his sketches and drawings in order to better understand how he translated what he saw in nature into paintings that, as you point out, really helped establish and concentrate our cultural identity bound up in the natural world. So I've been in and out of Owana pretty much for the last couple of decades, and when I heard that this book was happening, Julia Rosenbaum and Sean Sawyer reached out to me and asked if I would be willing to contribute an essay. I'm currently organizing an exhibition on the influence of the German naturalist Alexander von Humboldt on American art and culture. And of course, Frederick Church really was the American artist who most closely identified with Humboldt's idea that in order to be effective as a landscape painter, you needed to be interested in science as well as art. And you really needed to embody the world around you, which I think is what he ended up doing with the physical structure and the landscape at Owana.
The name of your essay is Capturing the Cosmos. Give us just a glimpse as to how that is, of how those words come together.
They come together because Humboldt's great five-volume magnum opus was called Cosmos, where he tried to present what was then a radical idea in the 1840s and 50s that everything in the universe is interrelated. It's a concept we take for granted. We understand ecosystems, and we understand the impact of changes in weather and deforestation or the way that we use the landscape, that it will have a corollary impact on us. That was brand new at the time, and Church got very excited about this and about Humboldt's idea that the more you looked, the more you drew, the more you observed, the more you wrote, the better you understood the world. And so Church set out, not just in South America, but really in all of his major works of art, to embody that sense of the artist as explorer and scientist and observer and questioner. And the interesting thing about capturing the cosmos is I really do believe that this permeated the way Church saw himself in his role as an American artist and as someone challenged with the mission of helping to establish that cultural identity. But I think he also brought it home quite literally in the form of Owana, where he embodied Church's cosmos by surrounding himself with the artifacts that he had gathered from all of his travels, with paintings that he had made of sites that he had visited, framing those wonderful views from all of the windows, looking out on that very landscape as though it becomes a point of saturation, where Church is literally both embodying what he does and creating it in 3D around him in the landscape, as well as on canvas.
Thomas Woltz leads the firm Nelson Bird Woltz Landscape Architects, NBW to their friends. And your essay, Thomas, is Restoring a Landscape Masterwork, Breathing New Life into Frederick Church's Living Work of Art. So not surprisingly, you do look at the landscape aspect of this.
Correct. And one of the most challenging parts of this project was to once again make Frederick Church's masterwork visible. I think for many people visiting Olana over the past 50 years, that landscape has degraded into a depauperate successional forest, making the intent invisible, frankly obscuring the great painting, the great intentional composition that was the landscape of Olana. One of the things we have to imagine is that that was a heavily deforested landscape in the 19th century. And so we might think of clearing into a forest, but I think for Frederick Church, he was planting forest to frame views, key views to the lake he had constructed, to Mount Marino, and of course to the Hudson River itself by choosing to build at the highest point. With the restoration of the house complete and its safety secured, it was really time in about 2011, I guess, is when we began with a strategic landscape design plan to start to restore these very intentional landscapes that included a farm that he referred to as a faire mornay, a very intentional composition of a farm that was at once productive but also picturesque. He also had looked carefully at the topography around Olana, for example, Crown Hill, and had established a magnificent view with the faire mornay in the foreground and the hill upon which Olana sits in the distance. So I think for the public, unaware that they're driving through a masterpiece of a living painting, this was a really exciting thing to bring to the awareness of the public, and in a terrific partnership with the state of New York and the Olana partnership that helps guide the future of Olana.
You still see it in the beautiful photography, but there's a photo that accompanies your essay, Thomas, that the aerial view looking down at the church's farm that so gives you an idea of exactly what you just expressed.
I think one of the exciting things that we came upon was a memo where Church had referred to Olana as his greatest painting. And I love that just in that one simple sentence, he evokes the intentionality of this, the beautiful vistas, the working landscape, as the heart of a work of art, not just the landscape as it might happen to be, but rather as an artful composition. One of the key threads to understanding that composition are the carriage roads that thread through Olana, and you start to feel the careful orchestration of a glimpse of the tower of the house, and then it's taken away from you, have a sweeping view of the Hudson, and then you finally approach to the castle itself. And the careful calibration of our experience in the picturesque landscape further underscores his intent.
The book is absolutely...
And I think what...
Go ahead. We just have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
What I think is to echo what Thomas is saying is you really understand Frederick Church, the Hudson River School, and America's pride in its landscape as you drive those carriage roads and as those landscapes are alternately revealed and withheld. It's a progressive sense of enlightenment that you really only get from spending a day on the grounds.
Absolutely. It is a stunning piece of work and beautiful essays and beautiful photography. It's Frederick Church's Olana on the Hudson, Art, Landscape, Architecture. Eleanor Jones, Harvey, Thomas Woltz, thank you so much for joining us this morning. A great pleasure to have you both on the program.
It was a great pleasure to be there. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.